Good Sunday morning, brothers and sisters in the Springfield area, and thank you for joining us on this weekly installment of the radio worship service of the Third Presbyterian Church in the Enos Park area of Springfield. Helen Ealy begins with our prelude. Please join me in prayer. Holy God, we're here at the second Sunday in Advent, and as we march to celebrate the coming of Jesus, we ask that today we focus on the message of John the Baptist. We ask that our hearts and our minds and our souls be open to his words, for they're a message not only for the people 2,000 years ago, but for people everywhere today. Lord, send your Spirit to guide us. Amen. There are a lot of great contemporary Christian Christmas songs, and during the Advent season, our praise team will bring some that are a little older and some that are brand new. Today, we bring you a song written in 2009. That's old as far as contemporary Christian music is concerned, but it's a good one, titled How Many Kings. Please join us.
Follow the star to a place unexpected. Would you believe after all we've projected? Child in a manger. Wooden and small, the weakest of all, unlikeliest hero. Wrapped in his mother's shawl, just a child. Is this who we've waited for? How many kings stepped down from their thrones? How many lords have abandoned their homes? How many greats have become the least for me? How many gods have poured out romance a world that is torn all apart? How many fathers gave up their sons for me?
Bringing out gifts for the newborn Savior, all that we have, whether costly or meek, because we believe. Gold for his honor and frankincense for his pleasure, and myrrh for the cross he'll suffer. Do you believe? Is this who we've waited for?
How many kings stepped down from their thrones? How many lords have abandoned their homes? How many greats have become the least for me? And how many gods have poured out their hearts to romance a world that is torn all apart? How many fathers gave up their sons for me? How many stepped down from their thrones? How many lords have abandoned their homes? How many greats have become the least? How many gods have poured out their hearts to romance a world that is torn all apart? How many fathers gave up their sons for me?
Only one did that for me.
Today we focus on an important story during the Advent season found in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 3, verses 7 through 18. Please follow along with me. John said to the crowds coming out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, Who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father, for I tell you that out of the stones God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. What should we then do? The crowd asked. John answered, anyone who has two shirts should share with the one who has none, and anyone who has food should do the same. Even the tax collectors came to be baptized. Teacher, they said, what should we do? Don't collect any more than you're required to, he told them. Then some of the soldiers asked him, and what should we do? He replied, don't extort money, and don't accuse people falsely, to be content with your pay. The people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Messiah. John answered them all, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I will come. The straps of his sandals I'm not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork in his hand to clear the threshing floor and to gather the wheat from the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with an unquenchable fire. And with many other words, John exhorted people and proclaimed the good news to them. May God bless the reading of God's word for us this day. Amen. This week we feature our Praise Team Handbell Group. They're doing an arrangement of Lo, How a Rose Air Blooming. That's actually a tune that's been around in the church since the 1500s and is considered one of the oldest Christmas hymns. Please enjoy their bell version of Lo, How a Rose Air Blooming. Please pray with me. Lord, let now the words which come from my mouth and the meditation which falls on all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, and remind us today that you are our rock and our salvation. Amen. Kate Anderson Brower wrote a New York Times bestseller book titled The Residence, Inside the Private World of the White House. In the book, one section talks about what's needed when there's a transition to a new president. Technically, the incumbent is still the president until the new president is sworn in. So nothing can change in the White House until that happens. But then, by the end of the day, the new president has to be there with all of their stuff. So that requires the staff of about 90, a little over 6 hours to change everything over. All the furniture, the pictures, what they've stocked in the kitchen for the new first family choices of food. They have to unpack all the boxes while packing and removing the previous tenants' boxes. 6 hours for the entire White House to be flipped. But not only does it involve the White House, the Secret Service must plan for this transition and how they will shift from protecting the one president to the other new sitting president while still protecting the previous president. She shares that hours upon hours go into all of this planning, and it's what's known as the advance team. I love the movie, The American President. This is a movie where Michael Douglas plays Andrew Shepard, who happens to be an eligible bachelor as the president because his wife died of cancer, and he falls for a lobbyist played by Annette Bening. They're traveling somewhere in the presidential motorcade, and they stop in front of a flower shop. Douglas says, oh, great, I'm just going to hop out and get some flowers that I've been wanting to give to her. One of his aides, played by Michael J. Fox, says, what do you mean? You cannot just hop out. We need to send an advance team to the flower shop and alert the Secret Service. Douglas is perturbed at this, and he says, what do you think? There's a terrorist hiding in the flower shop on the off chance that the president would stop by and come in? Once again, the advance team was needed. What is so interesting in the coming of Jesus to the earth is there's not really an advance team, not one to scout out the lay of the land in the Middle East. There was no advance team to hold a press conference or send out a press release outlining the details of the coming Messiah. There was no advance team public relations firm to jump through all the hoopla. There is really actually just one person, sort of an advance team, and his name is John the Baptist. John is the advance team for Jesus. And on this second Sunday in Advent, tradition has us looking at the coming of John the Baptist. Now, John's not your normal church-going person in appearance. He's described as wearing wild animal skins, eating locusts with wild honey, and he's not very well groomed. But he is who God chose to do the advanced work. We prepare for Christmas with gift buying, decorating houses and our churches, singing traditional and some new Christmas songs, and certainly planning a huge meal. John comes with just one thing, a message. That message has three simple instructions, and it was to guide the people in the days before the coming of Jesus, and it's the same message that really guides us these days in the season of Advent. John's message is first and foremost about repentance. The Greek word for repentance is metanoia, which means to change one's inside mind. The idea is that we choose to follow a path of sin because our mind focuses on that decision. And if we are to get off that path, we have to change our mind. The big research in the diet industry for today is that it's not just enough to restrict what you eat and get more exercise, but you have to change your mind about the whole topic of eating. Otherwise, you may lose some weight, but it won't be permanent. And after that, you'll gain all that weight right back. You have to change your mind if you're going to tackle that, and you have to change your mind if you're going to tackle sin in your life. And you have to do that if you're going to repent, because repenting means to change your inside mind. A few years ago, Frank Warren did an interesting project. He handed out 3,000 self-addressed stamped postcards to be mailed back to him. He asked the people to write on the back of the card their deepest secrets and then send them back to him without putting their name on the card. He just wanted to see what people were dealing with, and to his surprise, the number one secret that people put on the card was this: I feel lost because God's not in my life, and I don't know how to go back to God. Repentance is the first step in finding our way back to God. Let's look at the second message from our solo advance team member, John. It's the word commitment. Some people immediately think repentance and commitment are a bit redundant. If you truly repent, then you must be committed to change and not go back to your old ways. But I'm not the best at managing my clothes after they've been laundered, but I have a drawer full of socks. Socks always amaze me because I can never seem to keep track of them. I take a pair off my feet, put them in the washer and the dryer, but somehow in the process, I wind up losing one of those socks. So as a result, occasionally I go out and buy a bunch of new socks. Now, what do? I put those new socks in the same drawer with all the old socks, including some of the single socks. And that can present a problem because the old is in there with the new and the mismatched is in there with the new. When Jesus talks about spiritually renewing, he talks about getting rid of the old and bringing in the new. And our old selves cannot exist to be successful with our new selves. Listen to what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. Commitment then is an ongoing process where you agree to not allow the new and the old to mix, to not be, in my example, in the same drawer. Repentance gets rid of the old. Commitment keeps the old from coming back. The gambler who lost all of their money to the detriment of their family and repents by saying, I'm going to stop gambling, well, that's repentance. But they need to stop going to the casinos because there's too much temptation. That's commitment. Now, John has one more thing in his message. We are the recipients of God's grace. The point John's trying to make is that we should engage in repentance and commitment, but we can't truly be successful in doing this alone. We live in the grace of God, and if we allow God to work in our lives, then God gives us the power to be able to truly repent and to truly be committed. That's, after all, the whole reason why Jesus came into the world, so that the grace of God could abound. Reverend Walt Everett was part of a Habitat for Humanity trip, and he was ready to leave to go overseas when he got a call that his son Scott had been fatally shot by a drug addict named Mike Carlucci. Obviously, Reverend Everett was in shock, and he tried as much as he could to have forgiveness for the man who killed his son, but he could not. A year later, one night, still agonizing over the death of his son, he heard a voice tell him to trust in God's grace, and he did. And what he could not do on his own, God's grace gave him the power to do. So he wrote to Mike, who was in prison, and he said that he would forgive him from his actions. They began to communicate. And while Mike was still serving his sentence, Mike's father died and Reverend Everett did the funeral. Several years later, Mike was up for his and Reverend Everett was there to speak on his behalf. Mike did get paroled, and Reverend Everett and Mike had formed such a bond that they had both shared God's grace. It caused them to begin traveling around and talking about how God's grace can change lives. One time they were both on the Today Show, and someone asked Reverend Everett if he ever had feelings of hate back for Mike. His answer was this: you know, every day I think about my son, but I don't dwell on what happened because how God's grace changed my life and Mike's life, that's really something to celebrate. That's why the Jesus Advance Team person named John was trying to tell us. He was trying to tell people to repent, to commit to stay changed, and to embrace God's grace because they couldn't do it alone. Many people followed John the Baptist, and they were baptized in the Jordan River. That message, the message that John shared back then, is a good message for us today. So in this season of Advent, please think about changing your mind from the inside, working to live with just the new and not trying to dwell on the old, and embracing the grace of God, because we all realize we can't do it alone. We need the Messiah. Jesus, the light of the world, to help us. Amen and amen. Another Christmas praise song was written by Chris Tomlin in 2009 as well, and is a spinoff of a traditional Christmas song. The very original score was actually written by Handel, and the words were added by Isaac Watts. The song is titled Joy to the World, but in this version, it's Joy to the World, Unspeakable Joy. Please listen to this praise song.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let all their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy,
listening to the radio worship of the Third Presbyterian Church on Sports Radio 1450 AM and 92.3 FM. Hopefully you have next Friday, December the 10th, open to join us at our church for the presentation we're calling I'm Mary. It's the retelling of the Nativity story with 13 songs, 3 dance routines, and an important dramatic presentation. We feature in the cast 4 of our college-age students and 1 of our younger people. We also have music from our choir and several of our talented singers doing solos, duets, and trios. It'll be a wonderful night of praising God, and it begins with the doors opening at 6:30, and the event begins itself at 7 o'clock. The admission is free. However, we will have collection boxes because this event is also to collect money to help us provide special Christmases to 3 families we've adopted through. Please join me now for a moment of prayer. Holy God, Today we remember the words of John the Baptist. He was a messenger. He was an advance team. He prepared people for the coming of Jesus. And as we heard his story once again, prepare us as we celebrate and remember the coming of Jesus. Remind us of your grace so that we can truly repent and commit to be new creations. And may we share this message of hope with the ones in our families and the ones around us who may be like so many in the advanced days of John and like today, they're looking for God in their lives and they don't know how to bring God back. May we be modern advanced teams today in our places as we share the good news of the coming of Jesus. Now, Lord, bless this radio audience and all the work we do at TPC and all the churches of Jesus in the Springfield area and beyond. May we find love and peace in this Advent season. Amen. Edmund Sears was a part-time minister in the Unitarian Church. While he was at a smaller church, he wrote the words to our sending song for today, titled, It Came Upon the Midnight Clear. After writing this hymn, he was called to a larger church and went into the full-time ministry. Please join our congregation as we send you out today with this hymn based upon Luke 2:14 and written in 1849, It Came Upon the Midnight Clear. May God, who sent Jesus into the world and John before him to prepare us for the way, bless each one of us and remind us that we live in the new and we are out with the old, and we do so embracing the glorious grace of God. Amen. We have just finished the second Sunday of four Sundays in the season of Advent. Time is moving on. Thank you for listening to us today. Thanks to Helen Ely on the organ and piano, to Jeff Prince, our music director, to the TPC Praise Team and Praise Team Bells. Thanks to Seth Hood and our top-notch AV team, and to Matt Miller, who's allowed outside every so often. Otherwise, we keep him in a cave doing all of our post-production work, so we sound good. I'm the Reverend Dr. John Shear, and I've been at TPC now 2 years and looking forward to more, so please come back next week. And you can do that by remembering to stay safe out there.